Morning. Today's daf in Sanhedrin is Mem Gimel. We are Mem Beis Amud Beis. We're going to be starting the new parak today. Sixth parak of Sanhedrin. Effectively, now we could put a bookmark in the Masechta, meaning it is almost in terms of chapters. And it's the separation between the first and second half of the Masechta. It's from Parakim 1 through 5. So basically, we were looking at the actual procedure itself, the judicial procedure, how somebody was tried. The evidence, the witnesses, basically process. It was the entire process of the judicial procedure, both in civil law and in capital crimes. And now, as we turn to the beginning of the sixth parak of Sanhedrin, so we're talking now about the actual execution itself, meaning there was a gemar din, there was a verdict. In the event of acquittal, obviously we all, you know, everyone goes home. But in the event of a conviction, so now we're looking at an execution. Just as a way to contextualize this discussion, something we already learned, but just want to make this point very clear. So they took no joy in execution. In fact, there is a directive, a mission statement set for the for a Beis Din, and that is, do not get to this point in time. Meaning, if we have to, obviously we will, but try your best not to get to this point in time. And that means that the Gemara says elsewhere that if you have a Beis Din that kills once every 7 years, or according to another opinion, once every 70 years, so that Beis Din is considered a Beis Din Ratz Chanim. It's a murderous Beis Din. In other words, the Beis Din should really try and make every attempt not to get to this point of execution. Okay, so it's a law, it's on the books, and if necessary, Beis Din will execute. I just want to contextualize this discussion. It was not done with any kind of regularity. Nigmar Din, we start with the Mishnah on Mem Beis Amud Aleph, very top of the Amud. So Nigmar Din Mosino Sol so close. So after the Gemar Din, so we take him out now to be stoned. Now there are four different types of execution: Skila, Sreifa, Erig, Vechenek. Our Mishnah is talking about Skila. Rashi, second Rashi on the Mishnah says, "I did the Skila Reisha Dekulo Arba Misosi Mefarish Mili Dida Bereisha Vehanda Mefarish Sheara Bepirkin Delakamen Keseder." Skila is execution number one. It's on the top of the list of the Arba Mises Beis Din, right? It is what we already described a number of times. It's the most chamur, it's the most strict of the four, it's the most severe of the four, and so therefore it is going to be discussed first. And then, as the Parakim move on, we'll then describe Sreifa, Herig, Vechenek. And again, something we also already know is that not every Tana agrees with this position. Rabbi Shimon, notably, a Tana says that Skila is not number one, Sreifa is number one. But he's a Das Yachid, it's a singular position. The majority position is that Skila is number one, and that's why Skila is being discussed first. So we take him out to the base of Skila, an area designated for the actual Skila itself, the process of Skila. Hayachutz Beis Din, it was outside of Beis Din, Shenemar, Otzitzim HaKalel. In the Torah, when the Torah describes the one who committed Birchas Hashem blasphemy, so the Torah says, take him out, which means that he was removed from Beis Din in order to be taken to the Beis of Skila. Echad Omed Al Pesach Beis Din Veha Sudrin. Echad Omed Al Pesach Beis Din Veha Sudrin B'yado. Okay, now what we're describing here is an appeal process. Okay, now the appeal process obviously is a very short process because, in other words, from the point of a conviction verdict, he is literally from there walked out to the Beis HaSkila. Now, how far a walk are we talking about? So it's not perfectly clear. It's outside of the city. So if the Beis Din is somewhere in the center of the city, so it could be a significant walk. But still, we're talking about on the very same day. Now, the appeal process, now, right, anyone seen one of those classic movies, so you know that there's a phone right there by the electric chair, and the governor may call. So so over here, not much different. It's just, you know, the technology was not as, you know, they didn't have phones back then. So what they did is that by the entrance of the Beis Din, they had somebody with a handkerchief, and then at the distance of whatever you could see that handkerchief, so you have somebody over there on a horse. And if in the event, Beis Din now, after convicting, after he leaves the Beis Din, somebody there in the Beis Din now thinks, I have something to say, I have an argument that I can make, that would acquit him, so now we're going to start the appeal process. And so what we're going to now do is, we're going to tell the person at the entrance of the Beis Din, wave the handkerchief. He'll wave the handkerchief. The person on horse who is at a distance of whatever he can, you know, the furthest he could be where he could still view the handkerchief, is now going to run on horse over to stop the execution. And that's it. And this is now the state of execution described here in the Mishnah. So if any member of the Beis Din says, I have a new argument to make in terms of an acquittal, and even if he himself, meaning the actual defendant himself, when I say he's a defendant, now he's a convicted defendant. So if the convicted felon himself says, I have a new argument that I can make, machzir noso, afilo arba v'chamesh pa'amim, and it will bring him back four or five times, v'ashish mamash b'dvarav. Of course, we're only going to bring him back if he has something intelligent to contribute to the discussion. If he's brought back just for the simple reason that I really not prefer to be executed, and what I'm going to just do is some sort of stall tactic, even though I have nothing to contribute to the discussion, so then we're not going to bring it back. And more details of this is coming up later in the Gemara. The Gemara starts off the discussion based on Skila Chutz Beis Din Hava Vesulo. Now, from the Mishnah, it sounds like that the Beis of Skila was immediately outside the Beis Din, but that's not true. Tanya, the Gemara quotes a Brisa. Beis of Skila Ayah Chutz Gimel Machanos. So, with the Brisa says very clearly that the Beis of Skila was outside Gimel Machanos. Okay, something that we discussed time and again throughout Chas. But a quick refresher. Let's talk about Yerushalayim. It's the best way to describe Gimel Machanos. There are three concentric circles, not exactly circles, but three concentric perimeters that exist outside, that exist within Yerushalayim. The Azara, the temple courtyard, is Machane Shechina. That's where the Shechina lies. The perimeter after that, outside of that, is the Har HaBayis. That's called Machane Leviya. And the perimeter outside of that is the city of Yerushalayim up to the walls, and that is Machane Yisrael. And this idea, this structure of three perimeters, one inside of another, is based on the way we encamped out in the Midbar, where we had the actual Mishkan, then we had where the Levim were situated, which was a perimeter around that, and then we had where Yisrael was situated, which was a perimeter around that. Now, admittedly, in a city any other than Yerushalayim, so you don't have this idea of three perimeter areas, one interior to the next. But still, right, Tosus points out over here, in a walled city, you have this idea that it has to be outside of the wall. Anyway, the idea here, to put it simply, is that the Beis Haskilah is outside the city limits. It was not within the city. But that's not what it sounds like from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah sounds like that the Beis Haskilah was immediately outside of Beis Din, and the Gemara is therefore bothered. How do you understand our Mishnah? So in Kedekamar v'Hadiktani Hachi Nafkamina Di Nafik Beis Din V'Yasim Chutz L'Gimel Machanos Avdina Beis Haskilah Chutz L'Beis Din Ki Echad L'Mischaz De Beis Din Rotschen. So the Gemara says, if for whatever reason, now the Gemara here does not provide one, but if for whatever reason Beis Din happens to be situated outside the city limits, it is unusual, admittedly. But if Beis Din is found outside the city limits, so then in theory, the Beis Haskilah now could be actually in the Beis Din itself. And to that, our Mishnah is saying, no, don't do that. Meaning, the Beis Haskilah has to be outside of the city limits, and if Beis Din is outside the city limits, still should construct it in a way, in a manner in which Beis Din and the Beis Haskilah are not in the same building, but the Beis Haskilah should be outside the Beis Din. And the Gemara here provides two reasons why that should be. One, says the Gemara, Ki echad lo mischaz de Beis Din rotschen. We don't want Beis Din to look like murderers. If the Beis Haskilah is in the actual edifice of the Beis Din itself, so the appearances, meaning it's still all under the judicial process, and it's all part of the mitzvah of being a Beis Din, but still, the appearances that Beis Din will look like Ratzchanim, they'll look like murderers, and so therefore don't do that. Don't put the Beis Haskilah in the Beis Din. Put it outside the Beis Din. Inami ki echad d'tavi le'atzala. Also, we want an appeal process, meaning we do want a couple of minutes, maybe an hour or two, after the conviction, for the conviction to be overturned. And if I have the Beis Haskilah inside the Beis Din, I just simply don't afford an opportunity for that. So in order to afford an opportunity of an appeal process, so we want the Beis Haskilah outside to provide those couple of minutes in which an appeal may be made. Minani mili d'tan rabbanan. Now, the Gemara quoted the Brisa that says that in a regular scenario, Beis Din will be in the city, and the Beis Haskilah has to be outside the city, meaning outside Gimel Machanos, which means outside the entire city. Where does this come from? Where in the Torah do we get this idea? So we're going to do this a number of ways this morning. The first way we're going to do it is through drashas. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara here, quotes the following drasha. So we start by quoting the Mekalo, the one who blasphemed, and he's taken out. Now the Torah does not say this, but the Braisa assumes outside all three Machanos. Meaning again, we're out in the Midbar now, so it means outside Machanah Shechina, outside Machanah Levi, and outside Machanah Yisrael. Outside. Now, Ata Omer Chutz L'Gimel Machanos, Oweinu Ala Chutz L'Machanah Achaz, the Gemara says, how do I know that? Meaning, where does that assumption come from? So, Nemar Kan Mechutz L'Machanah, V'Nemar B'Parim Nisrafim Chutz L'Machanah. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from Parim Nisrafim. Okay. Again, the crash course. Karban Chatos, generally speaking, is offered in the Beis HaMikdash. The one who brings the carbon chatos brings his carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. It's shechted by the Kohanim. The blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, four corners. And the parts of the animal are offered on the Mizbeach. And the meat of the animal is consumed by the Zichrei Kohuna, by male Kohanim, inside the Azara. That's standard for a carbon chatos. However, there are a couple of exceptional carbon chataos, which are not eaten by the Kohanim, but rather offered in the Beis HaMikdash, and then the animal is taken outside to be burnt. And this is what's referred to as par menisrafim, notably par helm davashel tzivur, and the par of the Kohen Gadol. So these are two exceptional karban chatoses, which are not eaten by the Kohanim, but rather the animal is taken out and burnt outside of the Azara. And now what we're learning together is that not only outside the Azara, but outside Har HaBayis, outside Yerushalayim, and burnt outside of the city of Yerushalayim. How do we know that? So here we go. So since we have the terminology of Hotzei as it relates to the Parma Nisrafim, and we know that by the Parma Nisrafim it is burned outside the Gimel Machanos, so too when it comes to the Beis HaSkil, it's outside the Gimel Machanos as well. But you know the Gemara is meticulous in terms of gathering all the information. V'hasamin alan. How do I know that the Parma Nisrafim are burnt outside Gimel Machanos? Again, if you read the Pesukim, you're going to find these Pesukim in Vayikra Perek Dalin. The Gemara is going to quote a number of these Pesukim. It does not say Gimel Machanos. So how do we know over there that's Gimel Machanos? V'hasamin alan, the Tanur Rabbanan, v'otzi is kol ha-par el mechutz ha-machana. Chutz to Gimel Machanos, you're going to take the par outside of the Gimel Machanos. Ata omer chutz to Gimel Machanos, v'ayna ala chutz ha-machana achas. And again, how do I know that it has to be taken out? We're talking about the par of the Kohen Gadol. How do I know that it has to be taken out? No, I'm sorry. This one's talking about the par alam davar shel tzibur. How do I know that it has to be taken out of the Gimel Machanos? Kishu Amr, el michutz ha-machaneh, bepar ha-eida. I was right the first time. Sorry. The first one was referring to the par of the Kohen Gadol. Now the Gemara says, but we have another pasuk, same parak in Vayikra, regarding par alam davar shel tzibur. So it says over there that El Michutz Machane Bepar Eida. Shein Tam Olam Hashar Kvar Nemar V'Sarafas Okas She'Sarafas Par HaRishon. So the Gemara says, but the Torah already says that you take it and you burn it in the same place where you're going to be burning the Par of the Kohen Gadol. So since the Torah already says that it's burned in the same place, so what does Hotzei coming to teach us? L'Tein Tam Olam Machane Shniyah. It means take it out another perimeter. Meaning again, there are three perimeters. The Azara, the Har HaBayis, and Yerushalayim. So we are in the Azara. So it says take it out. It also says take it out a second time, meaning by the additional part. So we have now taken it out outside of two perimeters. But that only gets us to Machane Yisrael. Ukeshu Amra Mechutz HaMachane B'Deshen. Now by the Deshen, those are the ashes that are taken off of the Mizbeach, which are also going to be removed. And over there it says that you take it out Chutz LaMachane. Shein Tam Olam HaSharei Kvar Nemar Al Shefach HaDeshen Yisareif. It says regarding the Parma Nisrafim, that it's taken out Shefech HaDeshen, the same place where the ashes are taken out. So, Litein Lo Machnesh Shishis. So, since we have a third reference of Hotzei, so now that takes us, tells us that we're taking it out now, even the third perimeter, meaning even outside of Machane Yisrael. Okay, so, where do we stand right now? So, through a series of psukim, we now know that Parma Nisrafim are to be burnt outside of the Gimel Machanos. There are three references of removal, of to be taken out, in conjunction to the par of the Kohen Gadol, the par helm, davar shel tzibur, and the deshen and the ashes that are to be removed. So we now know that with these three items, they are to be taken out of the Gimel Machanos. We have a similar language used by the Beis HaSkila regarding the Mekalo of Hotzei. So just like by the Parma Nisrafim, it's to be taken out of Gimel Machanos, so too by the Beis HaSkila and the person who's going to be executed, it's outside of the Gimel Machanos. Okay, that was a really long sentence, but is actually it was accurate. Good. Now, the Leil of Mishchut Dechutz. Now, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. There is another place in the Torah where it is talking about exterior, and that is the Isser in the Torah of Shechut Eichot. You take a carbon, shecht it outside the base of Mikdash, so you are subject to a significant penalty, a serious penalty. It's an Isser Kares, shechting a carbon outside the base of Mikdash. Now, when we say outside the base of Mikdash, what do we mean? Just being outside the Azara. All you need to do is be outside the Azara, and you are subject to the Isser Kares of Shechut Eichot. So there, the Torah also uses the language of removal, of outside, but there it's only one perimeter, not three perimeters. So the Gemara says, so why don't we learn out from Shechut Eichot? Ma'alahan l'chutz ha'machan ha'achas, afkan l'chutz ha'machan ha'achas, mistabra mipar menesraf mehal v'lei l'melef. So now, the base of Skila is outside. Outside can mean either one of two things. It can either mean outside of all three machanos, meaning outside the city walls, or it can mean outside of one machne, just being outside of the Azara. Which way are we going to go? Now, the Parma Nisrafim is outside all three. Shechut Eichot is only outside of the machne Shechina, only outside of the first perimeter. So when we're looking here at the base of Skila, which one do we compare it to? So the Gemara now goes into a classic discussion, which is, well, let's see what it's more comparable to. Is the base of Skila more comparable to Shechut Eichot, or is the base of Skila more comparable to Parma Nisrafim? Shikane. So here we're going to make the argument that it's more comparable to Parma Nisrafim because in four different ways does it have a common, does it have similarities to the Beis Haskilah. Shikane. Hotze. The language in the Torah that's used is the same when it comes to the Beis Haskilah, where it says Hotze, and the Parma Nisrafim, also using the word Hotze. And El Michutz Machane. Again, similar language in the Torah by both. Both of them use the words El, Michutz Machane, and Machshir. And also, in the execution and the Parma Nisrafim, what am I doing? What I'm supposed to be doing. Meaning, if somebody has to be executed, we're doing a mitzvah. And in the Parma Nisrafim, by taking it out and burning it outside the Gemal Machanos, we're doing a mitzvah. And also, Mechaper. And by doing so, we're providing a kapara. By the person who's going to be executed, he's receiving a kapara through his execution, which we're going to be describing in more detail in today's daf. And same thing with the Parma Nisrafim. They are a chatas that is being brought for either the Kohen. By the way, I said Kohen through, now I'm hearing myself. I said Kohen through the entirety of today. Just one correction. It's not a Kohen, it's the Nasi. Okay, sorry. The chatas of the Nasi and the chatas of the Parhelm Davishel Tzibor. So it's providing a kapara. So in these four regards, there is a similarity between the person being executed and the Parma Nisrafim. Adarabba, the Gemara says, yeah, but I could also make a comparison between the person being executed and Shechut Eichot. How so? So Havelei L'melech Shekein Adam, because when it comes to these items, meaning the person being executed and Shechut Eichot, is talking about a person, meaning the person being executed. And Shechut Eichot is interesting, by the way, because Shechut Eichot, meaning the person's committing the crime, but obviously the crime is on the carbon that's being shechted outside the base of Mikdash. But, you're right, Rashi grapples with this. But basically, but we're focusing on the person committing the crime of Shechut Eichot, as opposed to Parma Nisrafim, where there the focus is on the animal, not on the person. Chote. Also, in both of these cases, we're dealing with a sinner, meaning the person being executed is a sinner. By the Parma Nisrafim, the Nasi or the community who sinned is obviously sinners. Neshama, we're also talking about a person and his neshama, meaning Rashi over here also struggles a little bit with this one, but there is going to be the taking of a life. The Rashi offers another pshat as well, but right now let's just simply say we're talking about the taking of a life. In the case of an execution, obviously the person. In the case of Shechut Eichot, the animal. Parma Nisrafim, the animal's already dead. We're just taking it out to being burnt. And Pigel, and also not subject to the Pigel, to the Pigel disqualification. Pigel disqualification only applies to a carbon. It obviously does not apply to somebody being executed, and does not apply to Shechut Eichot. Okay, so we have now a question of the person being executed taken out either outside of Gimel Machanos or either outside of Machana Achas. It's just a question of which we're going to compare it to. Are we comparing it to Parma Nisrafim? Are we going to compare it to Shchut Echutz? And the Gemara has just made an argument that it's actually similar to both in four different ways. So what do we have now? We have a tie. So what happens? In baseball, it goes to the runner. Okay, but that's wonderful. What do we do over here when we have a tie? So the Gemara says, Machshimi Machshir Adiflei. When all is said and done, the argument of we're doing a mitzvah is the most compelling argument. And in the case of execution, we're doing a mitzvah. We're doing what needs to be done. In the case of Parma Nisrafim, mitzvah. We're doing what needs to be done. Shchut Echutz, that's an Aveira. So ultimately, when all said and done, now that we have a tie, so it's still more comparable to Parma Nisrafim because that is a mitzvah. Okay, and now, that was a long run-on sentence, but basically now, using this methodology of comparison to another occasion in the Torah where something is to be taken out, we have now learned that the base of skila is outside of Gimel Machanos. Rav Papa now is going to give us another source that teaches us that the base of skila is outside the Gimel Machanos. Rav Papa Amar, Moshe Hechahavi Yosef B'Machan Leviyah. Where was Moshe situated? So he was in Machane Leviyah. He was in the second camp. Moshe, of course, himself was a Levi. So he lived actually in Machane Leviyah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, you take him out. Meaning, and we assume that Moshe was centrally located in Machane Leviyah. So taking him out puts the Mekalel where? In the third camp. We're almost there though, because we want him outside the third camp. So El Michutza Machane, Chutza Machane Leviyah. V'yotzios HaMekalel Michutza Machane. So now if you read on in the Parsha of the Mekalel, you're going to see now another reference. And that is that he's taken out Michutza Machane a second time. So now we take him out to the third camp. We take him outside the third camp. There we have it. Chutz Machane Yisrael. So that is another source of how we know that the Beis Haskila is outside of all three perimeters. So the Gemara says, "Hami Baile La'asiyah." That last pasuk you quoted. How can you darshan that pasuk? Isn't that pasuk telling me that the Jewish people actually performed the mitzvah? Which now means that I can't use it for a drasha. It's there to actually narrate that this is what happened. So the Gemara says, "Sfiyah Be'ezek Sifah." What do you mean? Go back to the Parsha, read the Pesukim carefully, and in terms of where the Jewish people actually performed it, Uvnei Yisrael Asu Kasher Tziva Hashem as Moshe. We have the Pasuk, we're on the top of Mem Gil Mamad Aleph, we have the Pasuk that says clearly that Bnei Yisrael did exactly as instructed. So Elam Yatzah, so the Gemara says, it must come from the following. Very Gemara, so Evan, so we have a Pasuk describing the Mekalel being stoned. So my Avdile, what do you do with that pasuk? Because in terms of the actual performance, we know that because the Torah says they did exactly as instructed. So Aumi Baile the Chedetanya. So the Gemara says that pasuk is coming to teach us a specific halacha as it relates to the actual execution of stoning. Vayirgamu osa be'evan osa v'lo b'ksusa. A halacha that we're going to spend a little bit of time learning later on in this perek, and that is that the person who is being executed by through skila is not going to be wearing clothing. His privates will be covered, but he's not going to be wearing clothing. We'll discuss more of that later in the perek. It's coming up on, what's today? Today's Monday. It's coming up on Wednesday's daf. Evan, sorry. Evan, she imeis be'evan achas yatsa. So, and the fact that the Torah describes one stone, meaning that after he's thrown off the ledge, then you throw a large boulder on top of him. If he dies at that point in time, the mitzvah has been finished, and there's no need to throw any more stones on top of that. V'itzirich l'michtav evan, v'itzirich l'michtav avanim. Now, two times in the Torah describes skila, once here by the Mekalel, and another time by the Mekosha Sheitzim. One time the Torah describes it as one stone, and the other time it describes it as multiple stones. So the Gemara over here has the following. If the Torah just simply said the word Evan in the singular, I might have thought as follows. Throw one large boulder on top of him. Now, if he doesn't die with that one large boulder, okay, we gave it a good try. But that's it, we're going to stop. Now, I admit to you, that's a strange Havamina. Meaning, the whole purpose over here is execution. And even in this Havamina, where the Gemara now is suggesting, well, if I just said Evan, we'll throw a boulder on him, and if he doesn't die, okay, we gave it our all. I admit, it's a funny havamina. It's a strange havamina. But the Gemara entertains it. So So that's why the Torah then has another parsha, another pasuk describing that it's multiple stones. Which means that in the event that he does not die, so now we're going to continue pelting him with stones until he dies. Now if the Torah just said the word avanim without the word evan, I might have thought that the stoning procedure should start with multiple stones. That's why the Torah says evan. Okay, so what do we have right now? This is our second lima that we have in terms of how we know the basis skill is outside of Gemal Machanos. So, to recap, we have now a halacha which is very clear. The basis skill is outside of Gemal Machanos. So, in Yerushalayim, that means that the person is going to be tried in the Azara, and then, if convicted, he's going to be taken outside of Machane Shechina, Machane Levi, Machane Yisrael. He'll be taken outside of all three camps. Good. How do I know that? So, we have two routes to get to that. To that conclusion. One was the brisa that we was Mem Beis Amud Beis, right? Yesterday's daf, side B. The brisa learns it out through a series of drashas comparing it to Parma Nisrafim. Just like Parma Nisrafim are to be burnt outside the Gemal Machanos, so too the Beis Haskilah is outside the Gemal Machanos. That's one. Or two, what Rav Papa just taught us. What Rav Papa taught us is the additional language used in the parsha of the Mekala itself. Gemara over here now asks a simple question. This is a procedural question, which is, Rav Papa's an Amora. The first limud was a Braisa. So, Rav Papa, what are you doing? Meaning, we have a Braisa telling us the source of this halacha. So, how is Rav Papa now citing a drasha himself when the Braisa clearly tells us how we use the methodology in which we arrived at this conclusion? And so it's a procedural question. How can Rav Papa the Amara introduce us to a new drasha, and especially when the Braisa already told us how to learn it out? V'ha haitan enemar kamar. Gemara asks the question super succinctly, much quicker than I did. If we have a Braisa, what's Rav Papa introducing? How can he be introducing a new idea? Which, by the way, only gets us to the same conclusion. So the Gemara says, ilulo enemar kamar. So the Gemara introduces us to an idea. I'll try to explain it. And basically, it's like theoretical drasha. Meaning, had the Torah not given us the drashas of Parma Nisrafim and the Hotzei three times, had the Torah not done that, so then there would have been a backup drasha to get us to the same conclusion. Okay, in other words, Ilo lo namar. It's like, basically, there are like, in the system of Torah, there's like there are multiple avenues to get us to a single point. And so there is a main avenue, so to say, and there are back avenues as well. There are back channels as well. And why? I'm not sure if I can properly articulate why that should be, why that necessarily is the case. But that's what the Gemara is saying, is that there's a main avenue to get there. That's what the Braisa did. And then there's some back channels, which is what Rav Papa brought us. Ilo lanemer kamer, v'achi kamer. Ilo lanemer kra, isi omer gzera shava. Achsha shenemer kra, gzera shava lo tzarech. So, yeah, there's the psukim regarding Parma Nisrafim, but had there been no psukim, so then I would have arrived at the same conclusion. Now, the Gemara here uses the word gzera shava. I'm not sure if gzera shava in the Gemara is to be taken super literally. Rav Papa wasn't saying it b'derek gzera shava, he was saying it based on a extra language of the psukim. Okay, but anyway. Rav Ashi Amar, now Rav Ashi is going to do the same thing as well, what Rav Papa did. Basically take us through a back channel of another way to darshan the psukim, again to get to the same conclusion, the base of skila is outside the city. Rav Ashi Amar, Moshe Hechavi, Yasub, Machan Leviah. Same starting point as Rav Papa. Moshe was situated in camp number two, Machan Leviah. V'amar le'Rachmana Osias Makalo Chutz Machan Leviah. And the instructions were to take him out. So that means that now we're in the third perimeter, outside the second perimeter, in the third perimeter. El mi chutz la machane, and then the extra language of chutz is telling me even further out, outside the third camp. Chutz la machane Yisrael. V'yotziwa samakala la asiya. So the Gemara says, and the additional pasuk of v'yotziwa samakala, that's just simply the Torah describing that it was actually performed. It was done. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Asiya b'hajik sibahu, uvene Yisrael asuka, shir tziva Hashem as Moshe. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? We know that it was done because we had that other pasuk which we already quoted this morning, which is, he did exactly as Moshe instructed. Ha'hu mi ba'ile chad l'smicha v'chad l'dechia. The Bach takes out the word chad. The Gemara says, no, that pasuk we just quoted is talking about other actions that were performed. The performance of smicha, placing the hand on the one who's about to be executed. Dechia, the witness is pushing him off the ledge. So these are halachas, which again are going to be detailed later in the parak. That's what we learned out from this pasuk. So the Chachamim say to Rav Ashi, now that you took us through your back channel of how to darshan the Pesukim to arrive at this conclusion, what are you going to do with the entire limud that we spent the first 20 minutes of today's daf learning? Parma and Esrafim, all the drashas of Parma and Esrafim. So now from your perspective, they're all extraneous. What are you going to do with them? So Rav Ashi's answer, really simple, kasha. A shrug of the shoulders and basically, yeah, that's a good question. But we're gonna move on, because that's where the discussion ends. Meaning, kashya, as we know, Rashi says it. Actually, Rashi's saying it in our Masechta, later in the Masechta. When the Gemara says kashya, basically it means it's a question, but it's not the end all be all. You can answer it. The Gemara, for whatever reason, does not take us through the answer, but we can answer the question. When the Gemara says something like tiyufta, that means that it really is a refutation. Kashya just simply means okay, good question, but there's a way to answer it. Okay. Echad Omeid. Amar Ravuna Pshitali. So Gemara introduces us to the following discussion. Ravuna says the following is obvious to me. Echad Evanshin is Kabav, Echad Eshinit Labov, Echad Saishin Eragbov, Echad Suishin Echnakbov, Kula Mishal Tzibor. All the instruments and the equipment used by Basin for the purposes of execution, it's coming from public money. Meaning, basically, it costs money to execute. So who pays for it? So we pay for it. Meaning we know, Masechta Shkalim, we go through this at length, you know, in the Daf Yomi cycle, it gets us through a Gemara Yerushalmi. There's a tax that's put on every person, and it's collected through the month of Adar, and the first helping of the tax is used to buy carbon tzibor. But surplus of the money is used to buy public needs. And one of the public needs is Beis Din doesn't cost money, meaning the Dayanim are performing a mitzvah, they don't get paid to do their job. But all the equipment that's used in order for Beis Din to execute, I mean that literally and figuratively, so for all the equipment that's used for Beis Din, he needs to execute, so that's coming from public money. The Gemara says, I, not even a discussion, that's obvious. But the Gemara says, but I'll tell you what is not so obvious. I'm sorry. My time, and the Gemara says, and imagine that isn't the conclusion. What a chutzpah that not only are we going to execute somebody, but we're going to make him pay for his execution. Gemara says it's not even tenable. Fine, by Rav Huna, but the Gemara says, but I do have the following question, which is Suda Shemanifim Bavasusha Rasamamida Mishal Mi Who. But look, the horse and the flags that are used in order for a stay of execution. So, is that going to be supplied and financed by public money? Or maybe, he wants to argue, it should be provided by the defendant himself, the convicted defendant himself. Because, on one hand, the Gemara says, look, it's to save him, so maybe he should pay for it. On the other hand, Beis Din has an obligation of saving him. Again, we keep referring to this theme again and again throughout the Masechta, Vitzilo Ha'ida, meaning that as much as we'll have to convict if necessary, but if there's a form of acquittal, if there's a way to acquit, so we should do so. So that means also that the funding of the flags and the horse should be provided by Beis Din. So here Rav Huna says, I can actually see two sides of this argument. Visu. Hadam Rav Chaber Rav Ashi Am Rav Chista Hotzei Hayotel Haig Mashkenoso Kor Shel Avona Bekoshal Yain Kedeshi Tatarif Dato. So we also have this other idea, and this is the only place in the Gemara we're going to see this idea, and that is a cocktail is prepared for the person about to be executed. It will calm him. It will soothe him. I can only describe this in ways I can imagine, because obviously I have no experience. But it will dull the pain. Okay. In other words, some sort of sedative, some sort of anesthetic, and a cocktail was prepared. And actually, it was donated. Interesting. The Gemara says it was before we get to the donation. Shenemar tenu shecha la'oved v'yayin la'mari nafesh. Pasuk and Mishlei. Mishlei gets a lot of play in our Masechta. So the Pasuk and Mishlei says that give intoxicating drink to somebody who is about to, someone who's lost or who is about to lose. And yayin la'mari nafesh. Right? Wine is good for somebody who's suffering from some form of depression. I don't mean that clinically. So Vitanya, and with the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Nashim Mikar Shibushlaim, Hayim is not Vosim and Vias Osan. So and this was donated by wealthy women in Yerushalayim. Okay, admittedly a strange donation, but strange but necessary. Meaning this really for those who are going to be executed, so for them it really helped. So now again, next question. Lois Navnu Nashim Mikaros Mishami. Again, who should be funding this? Had it not been donated, so Havadim Estaba Mishal Tzibur came to Ksiv Tenu Mididu. On this last question, the Gemara says, I think this should come from public money because the Pasuk and Mishlei said the word Tenu, which means that we're to give it to him. So not only does that mean physically give it to him, but also financially, we're the ones should be funding it as well. Okay. B'Amin Rav Acha Barhuna Merav Sheshes. Amar Echem Netamidim Yeshi Lamin Alav Schus. Vinishta take mahu. Following question was asked from Rav Sheshes. I have a student there, and we are now in the 11th hour. The person is being sent out to be executed. And you have a student in the room who says, I just thought of a new reason for acquittal. And then at that very moment in time, he lost his voice. Now, admittedly, a most unusual circumstance, an improbable circumstance, but the Gemara now entertains the idea that what should we do? We should dismiss the case. Because we don't know what he's going to say, and he could say something which is riveting, compelling. Now, it happens to be that you're not the first person to ask me that question. And to the other person who asked me this question also, I simply looked at him and I said, that's an excellent suggestion, and I don't know why the Gemara doesn't offer that. I'll say the same thing to you as well. Meaning Danny suggested that why don't we just have him write it down? I don't know. I don't know why the Gemara does not suggest that. Anyway, when Rav Sheshes hears this question, Menafech Rav Sheshes Biyadei. So Rav Sheshes hears the question, and he just brushes him off with his hand. Like nonsense. Get out of here with that question. Nishtatek afilo echad b'sofa olam nami. So the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes says, look, you're worried about what somebody could potentially say. Hey, I got a whole world of people who could potentially say something. But you know what? They didn't say anything. I'll only worry about arguments that are actually articulated. If the argument is not articulated, I'm not worrying about such an argument. So, hasam lo kamar, hacha kamar. But the Gemara says, but I do see a difference. Meaning, if somebody's not in the Beis Din, so when I'm not worried about potential arguments that could be made by somebody who's not here because he's not here. But I now have somebody in the Beis Din who was ready to give an argument. Just happens to be that he lost his voice at that point in time. So, don't you see this being different? Meaning, I now know that somebody at least was about to offer what could have been a compelling argument. My. So the Gemara now is entertaining the question. So Tashma Damar of Yosef, Rabbi Chanin, Echem, and Atalmidim, She, Zika, who may throw no, so Ki'ilu Hain Omed, I'm sorry, Ki'ilu Chayva Omed Bimkoma. So we learned this already before in the Masechta. We're saying this now again. The statement of Rav Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. So the, Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, and that is that if you have a student who made an argument for acquittal, and even though before the vote the student died, his vote still registers. But what do we see? His vote only registers after he made the acquittal argument. Prior to that point in time, we don't regard him as a position. Zike in lo, zike lo. So the Gemara says, zike pshitali. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, that doesn't speak to our question. There, in that case, he actually provided an argument. Amrti bayalach. But we're asking the question where we know there's a student who is ready to give an argument. It's just that he lost his ability to argue after he stated, I'm about to give an argument. So that brisa will not necessarily answer our question. So the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Afilu v'chule. Now, we're talking about a stay of execution, and we said in the Mishnah, even if he, the convicted felon himself, says, I have a new argument to give, we'll bring him back. So the Gemara says, "Vafil pam rishon b'shnia, v'atanya pam rishon b'shnia, bein sheyesh pa mamash bein b'dvarv, bein shein mamash b'dvarv, machzir no sol." So the Gemara quotes a brisa, and the brisa says very clearly, for the first and second time, where the defendant himself says, and when I say defendant, he was convicted, but the defendant himself says, "I have an argument." Even if he's unable to articulate what his argument is going to be, we'll bring him back. And we'll do that for the first and second time. So, mikan ve'elach, im yesh mamash bedvarv machzir noso, in mamash bedvarv ein machzir noso. But the brisa says. But by the third time, however, while he's being walked out towards his execution, only if he's capable of saying something intelligent, then and there do we bring him back. Otherwise, we now realize he's just stalling. So, amar papa, so tirgam ha'pepam shnia ve'elach. So the Gemara says, okay, very simple. So when our Mishnah says that we'll bring him back only if he has something intelligent to say, it's only talking about the third and fourth time. But for the first two times, we'll bring him back, even if he's incapable of articulating his argument while being marched out. Mina yade, simple question asked the Gemara. While he's being marched out in the third and fourth time, how do we know that he actually has something intelligent to say? Who is the arbiter who's deciding whether he has something intelligent to say? I'm Rabbi, the Masrin Lay, Zuid the Rabbanan. Iika Mamash Bedvarv Inni Lolo. So the Gemara says, what we're going to do is we're going to have him escorted. And the third time and onward, he'll be escorted by two Tamid Chachamim who are going to ascertain whether or not he has something intelligent to say. Velim Zolemi Kara. So the Gemara says, well, if that's what we're going to do in the third time and onward, why not do that the first two times? Agav Debayis Lo Matsi Amr Komai De Islay. The Gemara understands the psychology of the moment. The Gemara understands that for the first time he's being escorted out for his execution. So even if he does have something intelligent to say, the stress, the pressure, and mind you, by the way, he also has just enjoyed a nice cocktail. So and even though he may be a little bit calmer, so to say, at the time, but still the Gemara says it's understandable that he's not going to be able to articulate an argument while being marched out. So for the first time, for the second time, what we're going to do is, if he says, I have something to say, we'll just march him back, even if we don't know whether he says it's something intelligent or unintelligent, and we'll do that the second time as well. But from that point going forward, for the third time and onward, the only time that we're going to reverse his direction is only when he actually has something that he's articulating as he's being walked out, and only going to be ascertained by the Talmid Chachamim who is escorting him. Okay.
Means he's not really aware of.
Okay. Yeah, okay. 100%. 100% comforting. Matzulo zichos patruhu. Now, if we find an argument for acquittal, so then the obvious conclusion is that we're going to acquit. V'im lav yatza lisakel. Otherwise, he's going to be executed. Ukruz yotze lefanov. So now we are in the, we are at the highest point of drama right now, where we are now approaching the Beis Haskilah, and at this point in time now we're going to send out the following announcement. Ish ploni ben ploni yosei lisakel al sha'avar avera plonis, uploni ufloni eidav, kol mi sheyodeh lo zechus yavo v'yalam eid alav. So the announcement now, as he's being executed, is that so-and-so is being executed for violating the following crime, and the witnesses themselves are going to be identified, and anyone who can make an argument for his acquittal, now is the time. Okay. Amar Abaye v'sarach l'meimar b'yamploni v'sha aplonis v'makamplonis. Now, Abaye adds that in this announcement, we're also going to be announcing that it was done on such and such a day and at such and such a time, meaning when and where. And of course, the obvious reason why that's part of the announcement is because if there are a second set of witnesses who realize at that moment in time, oh, those witnesses did not see the crime, they were with us at the time, so they're going to come out and they're going to be mazim, the first set of witnesses. Okay. Now, here, at this moment in the Gemara, there is a section of the Gemara that has been taken out. If you have not heard this ever, so you should be aware that the Gemara went through a censorship sometime proximate to the 16th century. So the church, which was a very powerful entity, so they had us remove certain Gemaras that made reference to early Christianity. So so they were taken out of the Gemara. It was censored, but not expunged. Meaning we have them. We have the censored Gemaras. What I am going to point you in the correct direction, and that is that you'll look the other editions. The Masifta edition of the Gemara, by the way, has actually the censored Gemara. The Steinsaltz edition of the Gemara also has a censored Gemara as well. All the censored Gemaras. They're out there. It's very easy to. It's very early. Anything that has to do with the early Christianity.
Well, what in this paper?
So what you'll do is offline. Okay, you'll ask me, and I will tell you exactly what was taken out of the Gemara. Now there are easy indications to know, even if you were unaware of the censorship, which I just told you about. There are easy indications to know that the Gemara was censored. Why? Because, first of all, and this is not always true, but if you look at the bottom page of the Gemara, you'll see a lot of white space on the Gemara, on the page of the Gemara, meaning that there was more on this daf, just taken out. Also, you'll note that the Gemara kind of is a non sequitur into its next point, meaning that once you learn the censored portion of the Gemara, you will perfectly understand the segue from point A to point B. But you're going to be a little bit confused in terms of how we moved on to the next point of the Gemara, considering the fact that there is an actual portion of the Gemara that was taken out. Okay, for more on this topic, so you could speak to me offline. I'll tell you more information of what exactly was taken out of the Gemara over here. But just be aware. The fun of in me karalo. So the Gemara says that the announcement is made only while he's been taken out, but not at an earlier point in time. We now turn to the top of Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Amr Yishub Malevi calls of Eches Yitzrom is Vada Alav. Anyone who literally shechts his Yetzahara, meaning he dominates his Yetzahara, or Mitzvada Alav with a confession, Ma'ala Alav Akasav Ki'ilu Kibdo, La Karish Baruch Hu B'Shnei Olamim. You honor God in two worlds, Ba'olam Hazeh Ba'olam Haba. In this world and the next world, Dechsiv Zovech Toda Yichab Deneni. Quoting the Pasuk of, in Tehillim, that if you, with a confession, you honor God with a double nun, meaning in this world and next world, you'll guess correctly, and you don't have to guess because I'll tell you, the censored portion of the Gemara quoted this Pasuk in Tehillim, and that was the segue between the portion of the Gemara you do not see and this portion over here. V'amar Yishuv Malevi, Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayim Ad HaMakriv Ola, Schar Ola. When there was a Beis HaMikdash, an Ola was offered, and you get the reward of an Ola. Mincha, I'm sorry, Ola Biyado. Mincha schar mincha biyado. Avami shedato shvela, but for the person who is humble. Mala la v'kasav ki'ilu yikriv kol ha-karbanos kulo. It's as if you offered all the karbanos in the world. Shenemar zivche elokim ruach nishbara. The one who shechs multiple zivche, the one who shechs is the one who has a humble spirit. V'la ola l'shein tfilasa nimeses. And if you are in a state of humility, you will not be, your tefillahs will not be despised by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar lev nishbar v'nitkeh, Elohim lo sevazeh, God does not disgrace, he does not despise the one who is humble. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah.